Good to have you all here this morning. I'm not so sure whose idea was the bulletin cover. He says to the snow, "Be thou on the earth." Anyways, no, it's, hey, we live in Western New York, right? Just better be used to it. And we've been so spoiled. What else did I want to share? Anyways, let's get into the message. Seems like there was something else I wanted to mention, related maybe to something Tim said. But let's get into the Word. Amen? So the title of the message this morning is A Fresh Start. And of course, it's New Year's and all, and so I just had some thoughts on my mind regarding that whole thing. I have a friend who pastors a church in Hornell, and it's called Fresh Start Church. And I appreciate that name. And, you know, so I think a lot about, you know, January 1st, 2024. I don't know, the way my mind works, I start thinking about what will have happened. Actually, this is a leap year. So what will have happened 366 days from, you know, and there will be some things, I'm sure, that will be good and will be exciting and we can embrace with joy. But I can guarantee you, and you all know this, that there's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some difficulties. There's going to be some hard things that will be a part of that as well. Because life is always a mixture. It's always that. There's always a mixture of good and bad. You know, we know, many of us know, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And, you know, so that's the way that I try to look at it. There's good things in life and things working together for good, okay? And i.e., you know, difficult things, hard things, quote unquote, bad things. It will always be a mixture. And in Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the scriptures, it's called The Message. Some of you are familiar with it. It's probably been out about 40 years. It's not a strict word-for-word translation, but he tries to capture some things, some meaning. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, he says this, "We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort." We get a full measure of that too. If you skip down to verse 7, it says, "When we see that you're just as willing to endure the hard times as to enjoy the good times, we know you're going to make it, no doubt about it." That mixture of life, that blend of good and difficult that is constantly going on in our lives is just a reality. John Maxwell said it this way. He said, many years ago, I heard him say, you know, it's like looking down a railroad track and there's two rails, right? And if you think of it this way, the one rail are those good things, those things we embrace, those things that we enjoy, that we are excited about, and always parallel to that, there's another rail, and that is those hard and difficult things. And they run parallel, and they will always be there. And some things will happen over these next 12 months that will surprise us and will maybe even shock us, right? I mean, you just never know what's going to come. But I like to embrace, and you know, everybody's different, but my personality is such, I like to embrace the new year as a new opportunity, a blank sheet of paper, as it were. And so that's just the way I'm wired. But understand that just the flipping over of the calendar, right, doesn't mean all of our problems go away. We all understand that. And, you know, I had this happen to me last night. I was doing my walkthrough at the jail, and it happens quite often. I'll talk to inmates, and I'll ask them, you know, if I know that they're getting out fairly soon, I'll ask them, you know, well, what's your plan? And, you know, different things, and, you know, just to have conversation with them. And from time to time, fairly frequently, I'm going to move. I'm getting out of this county. I'm getting out of this state, you know, I'm going to North Carolina, I've got whatever, you know, I'm going to Georgia, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm going to move out of Orleans County. And that can be a good thing, right? that really can be a wise move. If you know that there's certain things in your hometown or whatever that are going to be, you know, you're known a certain way, you have a reputation, you have friends or whatever that are going to maybe try to pull you into that. So there's some wisdom to that. But I always say, don't forget that you're going with you. You know, which is a way to say if something doesn't change on the inside, just a change of venue is not going to change everything in your life. As good as that can be from time to time, don't kid yourself in just thinking a different location is going to make everything better. And it's the same way, don't think that automatically we're in a new year, 2024, that is going to produce positive change in your life. It may or it may not, and all that really depends on us. The past doesn't get erased, but how we respond to things and how we embrace these things that come into our lives is very important. So you've all heard this probably a million times. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Is that what you want? And, you know, that's that saying has gone around, and I'm sure most all of you, if not every single one of you, have heard that. And then going along with that is that other thought that's very parallel to that. If you keep doing the same thing over and over and expect a different outcome, that's the definition of insanity, right? You've heard that too, right? Doing the same thing again and again and yet expecting a different outcome, that just doesn't work. If you want something different, you have to do something different, obviously. And every person here, I don't care what your situation in life is, there's always things that we want. There's things in every one of our lives that we wish, hope, and pray would be different. One of the things that's very important is to understand the things that you have the power to change and the things that you don't. Another definition of insanity, I guess, not just doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome, but is pinning your future, your success, your dreams on things that are out of your control. You can't do that. What is one of the biggest things that's out of your control? Huh? Other people. That's exactly what I was thinking. Other people and how people react, act, say, do, think, whatever, those things are out of our control. And yet, again and again and again, I see people who link their happiness to what other people do or don't do. And if you do that, you are in for a rough ride, because that is something that is out of your control. I just had a conversation with somebody maybe a month or so ago, and it was right along these lines. I asked this person what they wanted, and what they wanted another person to act a certain way, you know, to do a certain thing or not, whatever. You know, I don't want to get too specific. And I said, you cannot hinge your future. You cannot hang your future on the responses and the actions of another person. That is out of your control. Do we pray for people? Of course we do. And you know, we want to see change and stuff, not just in our own lives and lives of others, all that. I get that. But you cannot hitch your wagon and the wagon of your dreams to somebody else's horse. That is going to end up poorly. Okay? So if you see, and this is what happened. I was talking to this one particular individual. I said, do you realize that you have given them power over your future? They may not even know it, right? They didn't know they had that much power. But because you have hung your happiness, your future, on something that is totally out of your control, something, a way that this person might act or respond or whatever, you've given them power over your future. And I don't think it's wise for any of us to ever do that, to allow someone else to control and dictate our future. Now, you've all heard, these are things that you've all heard, right? These, just going over some pretty obvious things. You've all heard of the Serenity Prayer. And I think I've got it up. Yeah. God, grant me, this is big in, recovery, sort of environment and in that, in those circles. But there's some wisdom in it. I want to just talk about it for a second. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, that's probably overused sometimes, but still, there's some wisdom in that. And I actually, I can't remember where I found this, but there's actually a longer version of that that I wasn't aware of, and I have it here in my notes. It's not on the screen. It starts off basically the same. God, give me the grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, the courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. That's basically what that says up on the screen. Living one day at a time, it goes on, and I think this is interesting. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, interesting line, taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will. So that, and this is interesting, this is the last line, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Very interesting. So, understanding what we have the power to control and not control. Chuck Swindoll, many of you have heard of him, well-known pastor, author, Bible teacher. He said this. He said, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, education, than money, circumstances, failure, successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break your life. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude that we will embrace. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. The only thing that we can do is play on that one string we have, and that is our attitude." And then he says this, I love this last line, "I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I respond to it." 10% what happens to me and 90% how I respond to it. Last week, last Sunday, I opened the service, and I was talking about, again, New Year, talking about new things. It was New Year's Eve day and all last Sunday, and I rattled off this long list, and it came from this message that I had. All the new things, just go through the Bible and look at all the new things that are mentioned in the scriptures. New creation, new covenant, new birth, new heart, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, new spirit, new wine, new wineskins. New song, new man, new way, new mercies, new commandment, new name. It says he's going to give us a new name, it says in Revelation. And then it sums it all up in Revelation 21:5, and it says, "Behold, I make all things new." So God is into new things. A few scriptures just that I want to just look at real quickly. I'm not really going to comment on them, but just wanted to read them. Lamentations. That's a tough book, the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." When it says, Do not dwell on the past, forget the former things. Now, I preached a couple of months ago about memorials, about remembering. Now, obviously, we understand this. There are things that we need to remember from the past. The faithfulness of God, the things that he's done in our lives and things like that. Of course we remember, but there are things that we need to forget. We need to put them behind us and not dwell on them. Therefore, I love this, 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite scriptures. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul said, last scripture, he said in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. And again, you know, there are things that we are to forget. There's things that we are to remember, you know, the faithfulness of God, as I said before, but pressing forward to those things that are ahead. So how are we going to embrace the year? And again, you know, you don't have to, we're talking about it because of the time of year. And, you know, I tried not to just get caught in that rut of, you know, well, it's January 1st sort of thing. You know, all through the year, you know, we can set goals and you know, just continue to move forward in our lives. So just a few things. I have five or six things I'm just going to put up here quickly on the screen that I think are some good, just good advice. And, you know, but I'm going to end a little bit differently, because the things I'm going to say to you, you know, you could probably pick up some book in the library on self-improvement and find similar things in here. But it's different. It's different for us as Christians because of what we're called to. Somebody, was it Tim or somebody else, was talking about, you know, what we were called to, being called. And so anyway, so I just want to go through these things. I'll go through them real quickly. The first thing, you know, and I know that probably a lot of you have things, like I said, you know, in the beginning, there's things we want different, and so we know we've got to do something different. But I would say this first of all, cut yourself some slack. Because what happens, and I think this sets people up for failure time and again, is people make things an all or nothing proposition. It's got to be 100%, it's got to be perfect, and if it's not, then we stumble and fall and give up and all that stuff. You are going to have setbacks. We are human, and rarely, especially when you're trying to do something new or different, is it ever going to be perfect. So I think it's good to allow some room. Cut yourself some slack. There's going to be some stumbling. There may be some failures but along the way. But don't throw in the towel. Don't scrap the whole plan just because, you know, you had some bumps in the road. It's not easy for me to say that because I tend to be kind of that idealistic person, you know, and I want to make changes in my life. I want it to go a certain way, and when I stumble or, you know, things don't go, then I do get frustrated. So I know what that feels like. You know, the legendary coach of the Packers, Vince Lombardi, said, it's not whether or not you get knocked down, it's whether you get back up. Right? So you're going to get knocked down. There's going to be things that aren't going to work maybe the way that you hoped. But listen, don't make that an excuse to quit. That's what happens to people, is a little stumble or whatever, and that's why people throw in the towel sometimes. Don't do that. Don't do that. When we have things that we want to change in our lives, we're usually pretty motivated and we can be very idealistic about those things. And we don't take into account, I heard someone say once, they used the term, people don't think about their, I don't even know if this is a real word, but they used it, creaturehood. You know, you are not God. You do not have all the resources, all the strength, all the whatever, all the wisdom, knowledge, and you know, that's only God. So we have our limitations, and sometimes we don't take our limitations into account when we're thinking about making changes into in our lives. If you make it that, like I said before, that make or break thing, it's got to be perfection, you're just setting yourself up for failure. So don't allow temporary failures to be a reason to throw in the towel, an excuse to quit. Any progress you make is better than nothing. You know, David Wilkerson, I was at a David Wilkerson crusade once, and I was a counselor, you know, an altar worker, whatever, and he called people forward and, you know, gave an altar call. This was in Rochester many years ago. And he said, I remember he addressed that group that came forward to either rededicate their lives or surrender their lives to Christ. And he said a lot of these things. He said, it's not going to be perfect. You're going to stumble sometimes. You're going to, and you know, if you know David Wilkerson, you know, he's not a guy that's going to cut a lot of slack, right? I mean, he's pretty hard, you know, driving sort of guy and, you know, live for God and live holy and, no, don't make excuses. But, you know, he said to these young Christians, these people making a recommitment of their lives to Christ, he said, if you stumble, stumble forward and get back up and keep going. And you know, it just sounded, you know, I appreciated it coming from him especially. So celebrate your victories, even if it's not 100% all the time. And so a couple of things, just real quick. Be willing to adjust mid-course, right? If you're too rigid, if you're too inflexible, you run the risk, you're going to hit the wall. So unforeseen things happen in our lives. There could be a major disruption. Circumstances change. It's okay. You can adjust, accommodate that, and move forward. Thirdly, be specific. I was in the jail, the SMART, I'll explain that, what's that called, an acrostic or whatever, I'll explain that in a second, I have that spelled out underneath there. I was in the jail, I was sharing some of this a couple weeks ago with the guys in the jail, some of this similar stuff, and so I asked them, I said, do any of you have goals for the new year? And boy, that's a risky thing, you know, to, you never know what you get. But they were good. You know, a few guys raised their hand. One guy wanted to start a business, and another guy said, and I thought this was, because I've known him for quite a while, he said, I want to be a better father. And I appreciated that, and I wanted to be an encouragement to him, but I was also trying to explain to him, that's not specific enough, right? Because if you know, what does that look like? What does that look like today? I know you're incarcerated now, but what does that look like, you know, today? And so, you know, it gave me an opportunity to kind of say some of the things I want to talk about here in just a second. One of the guys, and I talked to this guy because I haven't had a chance to talk to him. This is a couple weeks ago, and I had a chance to talk to him last night. So I'm saying, you know, what are your goals for 2024? Are you ready for this? One guy said, to break the generational curses in my family. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? And, what he envisions that, I mean, he's been somewhere and he's heard something, right? I don't think he just kind of made that up in his mind. So he has some background and some understanding. But we had a chance to talk last night about that. And, you know, the bottom line, like going back to what I was saying earlier, you can't change other people, right? So I said, this starts and ends with you, brother. You know, it's something that you've got to, you know, because he was telling me just things that have happened in his family and different things along the way and, you know, the different sides of his family and how they are and such. But I thought, wow, that was kind of I was not expecting that, okay? I wasn't expecting that answer, but it was interesting and we had a good conversation about it. But so the SMART thing is what I already said, specific. It needs to be specific. You know, people say, I want to get in shape. Well, everybody does, right? But what does that look like? Measurable. If you can measure it, you can change it. There needs to be some measurable aspect to your goals. It needs to be achievable. Some people are very, very, I was talking to a guy at the Y this week, right? As they were working out, and a guy I talked to, the guy, your coworker, Rick, Steve, he asked me, he just, you know, I was done swimming and he was the lifeguard that day. He works out, but he's also the lifeguard. And we were just talking and he said, you got any goals for me? And he said, I have this tendency to make unrealistic ones. And sometimes, you know, people are like that. And he's kind of a hard charging sort of guy too. And so they need to be achievable. Somebody said once, they need to be out of reach, but not out of sight. You know, sometimes, you know, if you say, I want to run the Boston Marathon this April, you know, and you've been a couch potato for 10 or 15 years, you know, that's admirable, but it's not achievable in 2 or 3 months, you know, to go from there to there. And, but, you know, maybe next year you can. So make sure it's achievable. Make sure it's relevant. If you're going to make sacrifices, make sure it's something that's worthwhile. And lastly, time bound or time measured. There needs to be some time attached to that, not just open-ended, okay? Number four, write them down. I encourage people, write things down. I've shared this before, but I heard this and I can't pull it up. I don't have access to it, but they took a class of Harvard MBA students. And so, you know, if you're there, well, Harvard's we won't go there, right? But this was a number of years ago. And so you would say they're pretty talented, skilled, gifted, intelligent people, you know, to have been accepted there and all that. And they followed this one particular class for a few years after they graduated, and the varying degrees of success that different ones had. And, you know, going into business, doing this, doing that. And some, of course, like life, right? This equity thing where everybody has to have the same outcome is nonsense. You know, some people are going to be more successful than others for different reasons and such. But the one thing where they said, why were some of them more successful? And so they you know, actually, because they were following these people, were asking them questions. And one of the consistent things that came up was that those who were more successful had written goals. They had wrote things down. And that helped them to stay focused. We know what the scriptures says, I have it here. Yeah, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So that was kind of an interesting thing. And I'm sure there were other factors, but that was one thing that they noticed. A couple more, just real quick. Do something today. The devil doesn't care what you commit yourself to do as long as you don't do it today. You know, you say, I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to start next week. I'm going to start next month or whatever. You know, do something today. And lastly, share it with somebody. Because there's an accountability thing that comes into play. Sometimes we have things in our heart, but we're afraid to actually tell somebody about it because then we know that they might actually ask us if we're doing it. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I want to close here. And I said in the beginning, or somewhere in the course of this, I said, this isn't about self-help. You know, I was looking at this and I was like, the last thing I ever want to do is stand up here and just give you self-help babble. That's not my heart or my intention. This is about being who Jesus wants us to be. And because everything I said here, you know, people can take this, they could take this stuff and use it in any way they wanted, right? But I hope I'm speaking to a group of people that want to fulfill the purposes of God in their lives. And that is from the bottom of my heart, that's my motivation. To fulfill the purpose, to be what God has created me to be. You know how it says in Acts that David fulfilled the purpose of God for his generation, then he fell asleep. He did what God had put him on this earth to do, and then God called him home. Now, David had some bumps in his life, as we all do. His were pretty serious, right? Some serious bumps. But you know why? You wonder why? You know, the Bible says, I'm sorry, I'm getting off a little bit here, but you know, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart, right? And yet, look at what he did. You know, if you know his story about adultery and accessory to murder and everything like that, the one thing David never did that other kings did often, most of them did, is the other ones went off and worshiped other gods. David never did that. You know, he did some horrific things in his life, and we all know that they're well chronicled in Scripture. But he never went and worshiped other gods. And I think that was one of the reasons why God was able to say of him that he was a man after God's own heart. So this, friends, is, well, I'm going to ask you to stand. This is about being who God has called us to be. Like I said, you know, relevant, or, you know, when I was going through that list of things, you know, we'll go, you know, is it worthwhile? You know, there's a lot of things, and they may be worthwhile, but the real things are, what has God called me to do? What has He put me here to do? What is His purpose for my life? And I have this is our closing scripture. I was just looking at this week. He saved us and called us to a holy life. That's another message in and of itself, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. People will often say, I'm saved. I know the Lord. I have a relationship with the Lord. But not only has He saved you, but He's called you. And as it says, again, I'm not cutting that part off. That's a critical part. He's called us to a holy life. But just simply the fact that He's called you, it's not enough to just say, I belong to Jesus. I say that, maybe I shouldn't say that the way I just said it. That means everything in the world. But sometimes we're so like, well, I'm saved. You know? Yeah, do you realize, though, that He's called you to something? And the whole reason I would even take a half an hour this morning to talk about these things is because I want, for my life, and I hope for your life, to actually accomplish those things. It's not about salvation by works. It's not about our own strength, but it's about being the people that God has called us to do and doing the things that God has called us to do. He saved us, and He's called us. Don't forget that part of it. He's called us to holiness. He's called us to purpose in our lives. And don't settle. Don't settle for something less than what God has for you. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, every person here who is saved and who knows Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we would, I'm sure, universally across this auditorium would say, the best decision I ever made in my life, the best thing that's ever happened in my life is when Jesus came into my life and I surrendered my life to Him. And so, Lord, we celebrate that. But You didn't save us and call us to heaven in the next breath. You saved us and You have, in almost every circumstance, some people get saved just before on their last breath. But for most of us, You've saved us and You've called us and You've given us purpose in our lives. And my heart's passion and cry today is that we would walk in that, that would be a reality in our lives. And Lord, as I said earlier, every one of us have things in our lives that we want to change. Not just because we want to see change, but things, as Tim made reference in earlier in the service. Because there's things that we know that are not Your will for our lives. There's things where we are not living the kind of life in certain areas where You've called us to. And maybe we're not practicing the spiritual disciplines. Maybe we've been negligent. Maybe we've been lazy. Maybe we've allowed too much of the world to come. Whatever it is, God, the changes we want to make in our lives and the things that You've put on our heart is for Your purposes. It is for Your glory. It's not so that we can live just a, not just so that we can live our best life. Some of you know what I'm referring to, a book by a well-known pastor that's called that, and I'm, you know, leave that alone, but it's not just about that. It's not just about us living our best life. Our best life is serving Jesus and doing what He's called us to do. And so, God, I pray that we would not miss this opportunity, and if we stumble, if we haven't, you know, taken advantage, Your mercies are new every morning. There's opportunities every breath we take, God, to make a new start, a fresh start, as I call this message, Lord. So for those here that just want, are just hungry for change and want to see things different in their lives, for the glory of God, for the purposes of God, I pray that we would go through some of those things, you know, share it with somebody, you know, write it down, do these kinds of things to make ourselves accountable so that as the weeks and months go on through this very significant year, I think we're in, obviously, in our nation and things going on around the world, but that we would stand here different in the weeks and months to come and come next January of 2025, should you tarry. So Lord, I thank you for this, and I pray that you would help us and that you would just guide us by your Spirit, Lord. May this not be a work of the flesh. That's not who we are and what we want to this to be about. So I thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy some fellowship. We had a crisis this morning. The coffee maker broke. And I thought there was going to be a real problem. But we found another one that we were able to get. So enjoy some coffee and donuts. And God bless. You're dismissed.